In the book of Deuteronomy tonight, chapter 26 to 28, Moses, now they have come through Egypt. They've came out of Egypt. They came across the Red Sea. They got over to the other side in the wilderness. And now they wandered for 38 years, literally 40 years now. And the end of their wandering is coming to an end now. In chapter 26, Moses now is standing across on the other side of Moab. That is over the side of Jordan. And if you've ever been to Israel, if you've been down to Jericho, from Jericho, you can look across on one side. You can see the actual mountains of Moab. And on the other side, you have the promised land, or you're going up from Jericho up to the city of Jerusalem. And it's pretty amazing because you see these mountains of wilderness. And then at the horizon over to the left, you literally see the Dead Sea. And when you're looking across, here is Moses on the other side of Moab. And he's saying, you guys, we finally have arrived. And now we're going to go across, except that Moses was never going to see the promised land, remember? God had told him, you're going to see it, but you're not going to cross over to it. You will not be able to go with Caleb and Joshua over to the other side. And every person that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and over, remember that I said over, every one of them will die in the wilderness because of unbelief. But those that are 20 year old and under, they will be able to go over to the other side with Joshua and Caleb, and they will inherit the promised land that God had given to them. Now, over the period of time of 38 years to 40 years, God had been teaching them how to depend and trust in the Lord. And God had told them, when you go over to the promised land, remember one thing, there are going to be giants, but I am going to fight your battles. I am God, and I am going to lead you, and I'm going to provide for you, and all I want you to do is to obey me. And so now Moses, in giving not only the, you know, coming to the end of his life, right before he dies, you'll see it in a couple more chapters. It's pretty interesting because now he's going to give to them as they're coming to Moab. Most of the people have died already in the wilderness. And all these young people that are 20 year old and under, and Joshua and Caleb, are looking across and they can't believe, man, we finally are here. We're finally going to cross over to the promised land. Everything that we've heard, everything that we've been dreaming about, now our lips will taste, our hands will touch, our feet will be able to walk on that ground. Look how he begins chapter 26, speaking to the people of God. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving to you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is given to you, and put it in a basket, and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Now, Moses here is about 120 years old, and he's coming to the end of his life. And the first thing that he teaches the people of God, he says, now when you go across to the other side, don't forget to bless the Lord with all of your offerings, with all of your tithings. Don't give to him your cast-offs, but bring to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem your best. Give him the best that you have for him. The first fruits, that is the best that you have, you give to God. That belongs to God. And so as Moses is explaining, and Moses is speaking to them, God is always, as he uses Moses as a vessel, God is instructing the people of God that God always desires the best from his people. Always. Never to become selfish. Never to become greedy or conniving or scheming, you know, trying to scheme on God. But the reason is because God said that He's the one that brought them. God is the one that gave to them. God is the one that blessed them. God is the one that is going to lead them and guide them and provide for all their needs. And so God wanted to test their hearts to see if they would do in obedience to what God said. Look at verse 3 now. Then He said, "And you shall go to the one who is the priest in those days, and say to him, 'I declare to you today that the Lord your God,'" notice, "that today that the Lord your God, that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give to us. And the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God." So what is they're doing? They're making confession about God. Verse 5, "And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God." So He wants a public confession now. "You shall say what? 'My father was a Syrian, about to perish, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation greatly and mighty and populous.'" Who is that? Jacob. Remember? 72 people went down to Egypt, and out of 72 people, God multiplied them to 3.5 million people that came out of Egypt. God is the one that blessed the people of God. And so God here is wanting to them to make confession, to recognize that it was God who blessed them, and God who multiplied them, and God who led them through that real bad wilderness area. Verse 6. "But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, and laid hard bondage on us 430 years. And then we cried out to the Lord God, our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, and He looked on our afflictions and our labor and our oppressions." Notice how beautiful this is. As the people of God were there in Egypt, and remember, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. And Satan was oppressing the people of God, even though the people of God were disobedient to God and they hated their God. And when they called upon God, and they were in bondage and in chains, and they were being beaten, and they were not only being killed, but I mean, they were going through hell. The moment that they called out to God, what happened? God heard their voices. And God sent Moses to deliver them. Moses becoming in the Old Testament a type of Jesus Christ. Just like Jesus Christ has heard our prayer. And what has He done? He came and He rescued us from sin and from hell and from death. That's the purpose of Christ coming. To set us free from the bondage of the world, the bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan, holding on to us for so many years, and finally breaking those chains and allowing us to be free now in Jesus Christ and to go to heaven. Look what else He says, verse 9. "And He has brought us to this place, that He has given to us this land, a land that flows with milk and honey." And now, notice the acknowledging here, what God has done for them. "And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given to me." Notice who gave you everything? The Lord. "You gave it to me, Lord. And then, O Lord, I have given it to me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you. And to your house, and you and the Levites, and the stranger who is among you. And when you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, and I've given it to the Levite, and to the stranger, and to the fatherless, and to the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. And also I have given them to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me, and I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them." So what is He talking about? He's talking about us helping the poor, helping the needy. How God, through the people of God, would help those that didn't have much, is God would use his people to give the tenth of the tithe that was given to the people of God. God would provide for them. Verse 14, "And I have not eaten any of it when it is morning, nor have I removed any of it for any unclean use, nor have I given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God and have done according to all that you have commanded me." So I hear again Moses is talking about that obedience that is given to God, and whatever God asks me to do, I will do it faithfully. Then in verse 15, "Look down now from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey." So his request is for God's blessing over the people of God. And then in verse 16, Moses now talking to the people here, how they're a special people of God. "This day the Lord your God commands you to observe these statutes and judgments. Therefore you shall be careful to observe them with all your heart and with all your soul." Notice, full commitment to God without compromising in my position with Christ. And then, "Today you have proclaimed the Lord to be your God, and that you will walk in all his ways, keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and that you will obey his voice. Also, today, the Lord has proclaimed you," here it is, "to be his special people, just as he promised you that you should keep all his commandments." Imagine that. Even Peter himself says, he's talking about the Jews, but even Peter in his own epistle says that we are a peculiar people. God has chosen us for himself. We are the people of God. The way God has blessed us. So amazing to me when you look at the beautiful scriptures that God's given to each one of us. Verse 19, "And that he will set you high above all nations, which he made in praise, in name, in honor, that you may be a holy people to the Lord your God, just as he has spoken." Notice, the purpose of the nation of Israel was to do what? For them to be a model to all of the world, to all of the heathen, so that they would bring them to know Christ. And yet, the Jews messed up. And then what did God do? God chose the Gentiles. You see? But God, once again, will choose the Jews in the last 7 years of world history to proclaim his love and his grace and his mercy upon his own people. Chapter 27, he continues now. Moses continues the exhortation here. "And then Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, 'Look, keep all the commandments which I command you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over this Jordan to the land which the Lord your God is giving to you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones and whitewash them with lime. You shall write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God is giving to you, a land that flows with milk and honey, just as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you." So God wanted them, as they would go over the Jordan River, which again, remember the types. Egypt is the type of the world. The Red Sea is the type of the believer's baptism. And then the wilderness is the type of the believer wandering through the wilderness, walking not in the Holy Spirit, but walking in carnality, in disobedience to God. The Jordan River, as right before they get over to the promised land, is a type of the reckoning of the old man to be dead. I crucify my flesh before God. I want to obey. I want to live a life of what? Walking in the Holy Spirit in obedience to God, so that I can receive the blessings of God. And so here Moses establishing the word of God and how they now are going to go across the Jordan River. And God is going to keep his promises with them. And God is going to bless them. And when they get over to the promised land, that's not heaven. But it's the life of the believer now entering upon the land where there are giants. And yet, the importance of walking by the Holy Spirit's power. We need the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives in order to conquer our enemies. Otherwise, we get defeated. And here it is again as he's talking about it. Verse 4. Therefore, it shall be when you have crossed over this Jordan that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones. Mount Ebal is probably halfway between Dan and Beersheba in the land of Samaria, which is the town of Shechem. We've been many times through Shechem. Right now you can't really go through there because if you have a bus with tourists, the Samaritans will stone you. They'll break the windows, so we can't go there right now. But we've been there many times in the past where we go down to Shechem and we pass through Samaria. And it's two mountains. They literally would have what we call the cursings and the blessings. The 12 tribes of Israel, 12 priests, 6 would get up on one side of the mountain, 6 on the other side of the mountain, and they would begin to proclaim all of the blessings and the cursings of God. You'll see that in a moment here. So here we are, we're entering the land. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use any iron tool on them. God didn't want fancy altars. You know why? Because if you build a fancy altar, what does that do? Everybody going, ooh, look at the altar. And what would happen? You wouldn't be giving the glory to God. God wanted everything done in simplicity so that God could get the glory and the honor. Not man, not the altar, not the sacrifice, but the Lord was the main attraction. You see? So here it is. Again, verse 6. And you shall build with whole stones the altar of the Lord your God and offer burnt offerings, which were offerings of consecration of my life to God. Romans 12:1-2. Unto the Lord your God. And you shall offer peace offerings, and you shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God, which were offerings of fellowship. And you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. And then Moses and the priest and the Levite spoke to all Israel, saying, look, listen up, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. Notice that. This day, I want you to understand, you're going to enter the promised land, and there's going to be a lot of heathens there. And what I want you to do is I want you to be my representative. Represent me to the people that do not know me. This was the problem where Moses, before they were coming into the promised land, while they were going to the wilderness, he was supposed to be the representative for God. And remember when they came to that place the second time when they were thirsty? And they came to Moses and said, hey Moses, man, we are thirsty. We want you to give us some water to drink. And Moses was standing there and God said, hey Moses, the people are thirsty. They want to get a drink of water. But before you do that, I want to talk to you. Step into my office behind the rock. So he goes back there and God talks to him and says, okay, now go out. I want you to speak to the rock, and the rock will give forth water. And so when Moses came out with speaking with God, God was not irritated with Moses, and Moses was not irritated with God, but Moses was irritated with the people. That can happen, you know that. You can get irritated, I can get irritated. And so when he came out, he started yelling at the people, you rebels, you want water? I'll give you water. Get over here. Started yelling at them, the poor people, you know. Going over there. And Moses had his staff on him. Remember his hand? And he took the staff and he laid back and he once and then twice on the rock. And then the rock came forth and brought forth water. And Moses stepped back as the people went to get the water. And God said, hey Moses, let me talk to you another time. And so he says, come back here, son. So he went back to the rock. And he said, now Moses, let's go through this whole thing again. What did I tell you to do to the rock? Did I say, scream to the rock? Or did I say, beat the rock? No, he couldn't say anything to God. He knew that he was wrong. And God said to him, Moses, because you beat the rock instead of speaking to the rock, this is a danger. You are not going to be able to go into the promised land. You're going to die on this side. You'll see it, but you won't go into it. And Moses pleaded with God, oh, please, 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 God, please, I beg you, let me go. And God said, no. He kept begging and begging. Finally, God said, hey, don't ever ask me again. I said, no. Now, symbolically speaking, the rock is who? Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Jesus Christ was not smitten twice. He was smitten once. So what did Moses do? Moses went out to the people of God, representing God to the people. But Moses went out representing God to the people as if God was angry with the people, when God was never, ever angry with the people of God. It was Moses. How many times you and I misrepresent God to the people that we are working with and the things that we do? That happens all the time with all of us. We have to be so careful of misrepresenting the Lord. That's why it's so important that when somebody comes to the Lord, it's immediately an importance for them to get rooted and grounded in God's word, so they'll get to know the Bible, to get to know God. Why? Because God's going to use your life. And as God begins to use your life, the moment you go forward at a crusade or an altar call and you receive Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, all hell will break loose. You know why? Because Satan now hates you. Because you've betrayed him. Because now you've given your life to God. And God has a plan for your life. And God is going to fulfill that plan for your life. But he wants your submission to him, so that he can work, you know, the plan in your life. God was working in the life of Moses for 120 years. Here he is, 120-year-old Moses. And Moses had been through different period of times in his own life. And yet God was still in his old age trying to see how Moses would submit himself to God. And Moses became so insane in anger against the people that he went totally blank and he started beating the rock. And then what happened, it was a lesson of misrepresentation. And because he misrepresented God, God says, Moses, you will see it, but you will not go into it. And I think that in my own personal life, there have been many, many, many times when I've misrepresented God. I am guilty like Moses. And I think that it's so important that when we do misrepresent God, immediately we are to confess and to repent before the Lord. Because we are not only living in the New Testament times, but God says that if we truly confess our sins, remember in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for all our sins. And what will he do? He'll cleanse you and he'll wash you by his precious blood. And when you repent of your sin, because you're not perfect, I am not perfect, we're going to blow it. We're going to blow it. We're going to blow it many times. But that doesn't give me the freedom or to take advantage of the grace of God that is given to me and say, well, you know what? The grace of God covers my all my sins. If I blow it today, I can just repent and I can do it again and I can repent and repent and repent and repent. Well, I mean, if there's a sincerity about it, that's true. But if there's no sincerity and you willfully know what you're doing, then you are sinning against God. You're misrepresenting God. And you're taking advantage of the grace of God. You see? This is why when we come to Jesus Christ, Paul said in 5:17 of 2 Corinthians, that we become a new person. Therefore, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is or she is a new person. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. You see, there's an ignorance among young believers because they don't know the Bible. And God sees that. But if you've been in the Lord a long time and you are trying to be ignorant about the things of God, knowing that you've been through the Bible and you read the Bible and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and convicts you and shares with you, and you willingly, willfully rebel against God, then you're transgressing against God. You have to be careful. You see? Because God sees the hearts of the young Christians as He sees the hearts of the old Christians. It takes time to mature. But immediately as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing that God will give to you, what? Is your daily alarm, the Holy Spirit. Not your conscience. The Holy Spirit comes, and what does He do? He tells you when you're doing something wrong. And why? He rings that alarm because now you're a child of the light, no longer in darkness. You're not to lie anymore. You're not to cheat anymore. You're to do what is right, what is honest. He said, but you don't understand. Man, it's going to cost me. Hey, it cost Jesus Christ His life. How can you lose by telling the truth? You can't lose. Some time ago, I was teaching about truth, and if somebody came to me, you mean I can't cheat in my income taxes? No, you can't. Jesus said, you pay Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and you give to God what belongs to God. He said, well, man, the government, you know, they're taking all my money. Hey, if you pay, and you have to pay to the government what belongs to the government, hey, that's between you and God. God will bless you. But if you rip off the government, you rip off God, oh, man, you're in trouble. Like the book of Haggai, what did he do? When the prophet Haggai came and told the people of God, they came back from captivity and they started building these beautiful panel houses and their fields were really being blessed, and they had these big old bags of silver and gold in their houses as they were storing up, hoarding all their money. And God says, you go out and you work all day long, you build these beautiful houses, then you come home, you put all your coins and you hide them in a bag. He says, but what you don't understand is that what you're doing, there's a hole in the bottom of the bag, and it's not you, but it's me. I'm taking all your money from you. God will take everything from you. Not because He hates you, but He wants to get your attention. Because He wants you to deal in truth. He doesn't want you to rip anybody off. He wants you to speak the truth. He wants you to do the truth. Because what does He say? When you come to me and you're living a life of obedience and you're really doing what is right and truthful, then I will what? If you give to me, I will open the windows. That's the only time He says, test me if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour blessings upon you. That's the only place where God challenges anybody. To give to Him. You cannot ever outgive God. But if you're stealing from God and you're stealing from men, and then you're stealing from the government, how can you be blessed? You can't. It's an impossibility. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. And when it catches up to you and the government comes in, you have to pay all those taxes back, and maybe you can go to jail. God says, I told you, but you didn't believe me. I think we have to be so careful when it comes to that. I used to have a business. I know how to cheat. I used to do that. But when I came to Christ, I stopped doing that. You know what I'm saying? Because I read the scripture and I read what God says. And let me say something to you. I've been in the Lord for 28 years and God has never failed me. Never failed me. I give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. I give to God what belongs to God. Because you can't ever outgive God. And of course, I mean, I'll try to take every exemption I can. I don't want to give to Caesar. But I mean, whatever is fair is fair. But I'm not going to cheat and lie in the presence of God and then call myself a Christian, you see. Because I'm reading the Bible. I know what God says in His Word. So this is what God is trying to teach the people of God. Obedience. Truth. Look what else He says. Verse 10. Verse 9, He said, listen up, O Israel, this day you have become a people of the Lord your God. Therefore, you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today. What's that? The Word of God. The teachings of the Word of God. And then Moses command that the people on the same day, saying, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have crossed over the Jordan. Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin. They're on Mount Gerizim on one side. And then on the other side, the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes any carved image or molten image. It's an abomination to the Lord, the work of your hands, the craftsman that sets it up in the secret. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. So be it. The priest, the Levite would call it out, and then the people would say, amen. And then he said this, cursed is he, or cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt. And all the people shall say, amen. The sin against your fellow men, mistreating them. And then, cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, amen. You know, you're a farmer, and you live next to another farm, and you say, okay, honey, tonight, when our neighbor goes to sleep, we're going to go and we're going to move our property lines so he will not know it. They used to have markers. That's why they built those, remember those towers, those watchtowers? So at night, they would have guys watching to see their landmarks. Who's going to sneak in and move my landmark? God says, you can't do that. Honesty. Notice again, 18. Cursed is the one who makes the blind to wander off the road. That's a dirty trick. See, I mean, God says, oh, yeah, brother, go ahead, right over there. You know, he's going off the cliff. Notice that. Who wanders off the road, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due to a stranger, the fatherless, the widow, and all the people shall say, amen. The judges and attorneys, they better listen up. Notice what he says. And then again, verse 20. Cursed is the one who lies with his father's wife. Notice sexual immorality here, sexual sins. Cursed is the one who lies with any or father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's bed, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any kind of an animal, and all the people shall say amen. Notice, cursed is the one who lies with his sister, incest, or the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, amen. And then now he's going to deal with, again, notice, of shedding of blood, murder. Cursed is the one who takes a bribe and slays an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. And then, cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law, and all the people shall say amen. That is doing what? A warning on messing against the word of God, changing the word of God, misusing the word of God to get your way. He says, no way. Cursed is he that does that. Then chapter 28, look what he says. This is a long chapter, but this he begins now. 28, 29, and 30 are the blessings and the cursings of God. Now, let me say this. God said, if you obey me, this is what's going to happen. Parallels with the United States and Israel. If you obey me, you're going to be the head. The head leads, okay? Everybody else will become the tail. Instead of you, the head, borrowing from the tail, in finances or whatever it is, he says, you'll never have to do that, because I, God, will lead you and I will bless you. But if you disobey me, instead of becoming the head, you'll become the tail. And then every foreigner and stranger will take over your land, and they'll come in and they'll take everything away from you, and they'll rule over your lives. Pretty heavy. Right here in these chapters. Watch what he says. Chapter 20, verse 1. And now, it shall come to pass, conditional, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth. Notice the promise to Israel, the promise to the United States of America, the promise to any nation that puts God first. God says, I will exalt you. I will promote you. I will make you the best. And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord of your God. Here's the blessings, 14 verses only. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be fruitful of your body, to produce of your ground, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. God says, I'll bless you in every way. Blessed shall be your baskets and your kneading bowls. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. And they shall come out against you one way, and they'll run the other way. Why? Because God will do it. Notice the promises of God. Then all the people of the earth shall see. Here's the witness. Everybody will see what? That you are called by my name of the Lord God, and they shall be afraid of you. Wow. Man, today people say, I'm a Christian. They don't fear us. Look what he says. He says, if we live godly lives, people will fear who? The Lord that is in us. Not us. They'll fear the Lord because they'll see Christ in you. Look what else he says. Pretty amazing when you think about it. And then the Lord will grant you plenty of goods and the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, your sheep, your lambs, and the produce of your ground. And the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its seasons, to bless all the work of your hands. Notice, you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You won't be bankrupt. You won't be in debt. God says, I'll bless you. People will come and borrow from you, but you'll never have to borrow from anybody else. What else? And then the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. And you shall be above only and not be beneath. And if you, again conditional, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to live according to them, so you shall not turn aside from any of my words, which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left hand, to go after other gods to serve them, then God will do what? God will bless you. But if you turn to the left or to the right and you start worshiping other gods and you start lying and cheating and doing all these things, then there's no more blessing. But what? The cursings of God come. Look what else. Now, from now, verse 15, all the way to chapter 30 is nothing but cursings. Notice that. But it shall come. Why? Because God knew his people. You see, he already knew them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you to overtake you. What curses? Listen carefully. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country, no matter where you go. Cursed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursings, confusion, rebuke in all that you set your hand to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Underline that. That's why it happens. Whenever you forsake the Lord, then how can he bless you? He can't. You see, you have to stay close to the heart of God. Then the Lord will make, notice, the plague cling to you until he has consumed you from the land which you are going to possess. The Lord will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with severe burning fevers, with sword, with scorching, with mildew shall you pursue until you are perishing. And your heavens which are over your head shall become like bronze, no rain, notice, famine, pestilence. The earth which is under you shall become like iron. The Lord will change the rain in your land to powder and dust. Not Mother Nature, but God's in control. Notice, from the heavens it shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Then the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, which means they're going to take you on and they're going to defeat you. God won't help you. And you shall become troublesome to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses shall be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with boils of Egypt, with tumors, with scab, with the itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of heart. And you shall grope at noonday as a blind man gropes in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and plundered continually, and no one shall save you. Imagine that. You shall be thrown a wife, but another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, you shall not gather in grapes. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, and you shall not eat of it. Your donkey shall be violently taken away from before you, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have no one to rescue them. Remember when the Assyrians came to the northern kingdom of Israel? That happened, and then Babylon came, and that happened. God is prophesying too. A nation whom you have not known shall eat the fruit of your land. Who's that? The Babylonians. Notice that he's prophesying already. The fruit of your land and the produce of your labor. And you shall be only oppressed, crushed continually. And you shall be driven mad because of the sight of your eyes see. The Lord will strike you in the knees and on the legs with a severe boils which cannot be healed. And from the sole of your feet to the top of your head. Kind of like Job went through. And then the Lord will bring you and the king whom you set over you to a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods with wood and stone. Who is that? Solomon, King Saul. And you shall become an astonishment and a proverb and a byword among all the nations where the Lord were driven you. And you shall carry your seed out of the field and gather but little in, for the locust shall consume. And you see, God was blessing them, and the cursing is what you won't even have enough to eat. God will begin to take everything away from you. You shall plant the vineyard and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes from the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all the territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for the olive shall drop off. You shall beget sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. Wow. Notice that. Locusts shall consume all your trees and the produce of your land. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. Let me be honest with you, okay? Because I love America and I love what God is doing here. But notice the importance, and I'm not down with people coming to America because we're all actually foreigners, okay, when it comes down to it. But think about all the people that have come from all over the nations of the world just in the last 20, 30 years and all of their gods that they've brought with them. Think about that. So this is what God's saying. We used to be on top, but now we're at the bottom. And literally, there are a lot of foreigners that are being more successful and literally buying more and taking over more. Number one, because again, people don't want to get educated, or they don't really want to hustle. So when they come to America, what's the first thing they do? They see the land of opportunity. In America, you can do anything. You can be anything you want to be. You see? But again, part of the cursing, God says what? You'll be at the bottom. You won't be on top. They'll be putting the pressure on you. They will be the ones to succeed. They will be the ones to be blessed. God will do that. Coming against the people here because of what they've done. Notice again. God means what he says. And then he says again, verse 43, the alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded to you. Notice that. And they shall be upon you for a sign, a wonder on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, in need, all things, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. And then the Lord will bring a nation, Babylon, against you from afar off, from the ends of the earth, as swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land. Until you are destroyed, you shall not leave your grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. They shall besiege you all your gates until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted in came down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you and all your gates throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given to you. Why? Because they did not trust the Lord, but they trusted their gates and their walls. Notice that. You shall eat the fruit of your own body. They were going to eat their own babies. That happened with Babylon and with Rome. They ate their own babies because they didn't have enough food. Notice that. God prophesying here. You shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your own sons and your daughters whom the Lord your God has given to you, in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you. The man among you who is sensitive and very refined will be hostile towards his brother, towards his wife, towards his bosom, and towards the rest of his children whom he leaves behind, so that he will not give any of them flesh of his children whom he'll eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and desperate straits in which your enemy shall distress you, all your gates. And the tender and the delicate woman among you who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and sensitivity will refuse to the husband of her bosom and her sons and her daughters. Notice the woman rejecting their husbands and their children because they can't have what they had before. And then again, the placenta that comes out of between his feet, her feet, and her children whom she bears, for she will eat them secretly for lack of things that the siege desperately strays in which your enemy shall distress you at all your gates. Imagine that. Cannibalism. If you do not, here again, conditional, if you do not carefully observe all these words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear the glorious and awesome name of the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious prolonged sicknesses. Moreover, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cling unto you. And every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law will the Lord bring upon you until you are destroyed. Man, you ought to read Time magazine. I got blown away when I read for the next 25 years that the new diseases are coming. They don't have any cures for yet. You shall be left few in number, where areas you were as the stars of heaven in multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall be that just as the Lord rejoices over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and bring you to nothing. And you shall be plucked off from your land which you go in to possess. And then the Lord will scatter you among all the people from one end of the earth to the other. And there you shall serve other gods which neither you know nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And that happened. The Jews have scattered all over the world. And then among the nations you shall find no rest, nor shall the sole of your foot have a rest place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of mind or soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night and have no assurance of life, because they didn't trust in the Lord. Now they're all alone. In the morning you shall say, "Oh, that it were evening." In the evening you shall say, "Oh, that it was morning," because of the fear which terrifies your heart and because of the sight that your eyes have seen. Sounds like today. Well, God's judgment being poured out on the nations of the world because they have disobeyed God. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships by the way which I said to you. You shall never see it again. And there you shall be offered, check this out, you shall be offered for sale to your enemies and made female slaves, but no one will buy you. No one will buy you. Why? Because God, again, was trying to get their attention to repent, to return back to the Lord. That's the whole key. Repentance, returning back to God because of His love and His grace and His mercies. Father, we ask You this evening, Lord, that as we continue this tremendous book, Father, of Deuteronomy, that You would help us to learn from past history. So, Lord, that we would not make the same mistakes, but that we would listen and that we would do what is right and truthful, Lord God. Jesus, I thank You for Your people. I thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that You would continue to lead us and guide us into all truth. And Lord, I don't know who's here today, but Lord, this evening that there are people here that are visiting for the first time. They've come other times, Lord, but never have given their lives to You. Lord God, may Your Holy Spirit right now speak to them and make Yourself real to them, Lord, so that they can come to that place in their lives where they can receive Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I know that apart from You, I cannot do nothing. Lord, where can I go if I don't serve You? Or if I don't love You, Lord? There is no place. Father, surely I don't want to go back into the world that I came from. So Lord, help me and keep us safe with You, Lord God. I pray, Lord, for every new believer, that You keep them safe, Lord. And for the old believers too, Father. And Lord, for those that have backslidden and have gone backwards instead of forwards. And Father, how we love the nation of Israel, how we love the Jew. Because without the Jew, there would be no gospel. And so, Lord, we ask You that You would continue to move in us, to work through us. And Lord, if there's anybody here that doesn't know You, that tonight would be the night for them to come to receive Your love and Your grace and Your mercies.